Okay, so the second portion of meeting the IVAC definition, of course, is the antimicrobial piece. And it's probably one of the most complicated pieces of a complicated protocol. The rules for meeting the criterion aren't perfect. We know that, but we needed to standardize the method so that y'all were doing it the same. And without needing the knowledge of dosing, renal function testing, the indication for therapy. So if you're going to make it an automatic feed, a potentially automatic event, we need to make it clean and simple and have real simple rules. So it does include the drugs that are in the appendix, and those are antibacterials, antifungals, and some antivirals. You can see which are not included. I'm not going to read those to you. It is a broad range of agents that can be used to treat any healthcare-associated infection, not just a respiratory-related infection. And we did have some concerns early on. Folks were meeting the IVAC definition and then proceeding on to the PVAP definition, and there was no respiratory infection. And we tried to tweak it to the extent of removing mostly oral agents that would not be used in an ICU setting to treat a respiratory infection. But keep in mind that it's not meant to just identify respiratory tract infections. So, and also keep in mind that just because you meet a PVAP, that doesn't, it's possible VAP, it doesn't mean the person necessarily has, clinically has a ventilator-associated pneumonia. So what is a new antimicrobial agent? A new antimicrobial agent is one that's found in the protocol and that is initiated on or after the third calendar day of mechanical ventilation and is in the VAE window period. So the new and the new agent has to be continued for greater than or equal to 4 consecutive days. But there's no requirement that the same agent be used to accumulate those 4 consecutive days. And the agent has to be either administered IV, IM, via the digestive tract, or the respiratory tract. The qualifying antimicrobial days is the day in which the patient was administered an antimicrobial agent, and I stress administered. It's not based on orders. It's did the patient actually receive the medication? And the 4 consecutive QADs are needed to meet that IVAC definition. So if the patient expires on day 4 and he didn't receive the antimicrobial agent, not even one single dose, then you won't be able to meet the IVAC definition. So let's use some screenshots from the calculator to really point out what we're talking about meeting the QAD. So you have to have 4 eligible, and in this example, that's limited. The new is initiated on or after mechanical ventilation day 3, which it is, and it's within the VA window period, and we do have greater than or equal to 4 consecutive days. I want to point out that we did update the VAE calculator, I think last year, and one of the upgrades was removing the boxes that were in day 2 and 3 for temp and weight count. That doesn't contribute to the calculation, so we were kind of like, why do we even have them there? It doesn't matter. If you check something there, it doesn't change or remove the possibility of the use of the temperature. So we took those boxes away. In contrast, it is important that you do check the box for the antimicrobial agent, and we'll get to that. Days between administration of the same antimicrobial agent also are counted as QADs. So in this example, levofloxacin is administered on days 4, 6, and 8, and those days 5 and 7 do contribute. It's the same antimicrobial agent. Started in the VAE window period, and you end up with a total of 5 QADs. In contrast, administration of different antimicrobial agents don't piggyback on one another, and you can't count days in between. So levofloxacin is administered on day 4 and 5. There's a gap, and now you start a new agent. that day in between is not counted, and also then the two leave of Lakshasan days aren't counted. So in this case, you're meeting your QADs by that second antimicrobial agent administration of ceftazidime. The date of initiation, and this is what I was alluding to when I was talking about the boxes, checking the boxes, it's important that you follow the directions on the calculator, because you want to choose a drug from the drop-down list, and you want to check all of the corresponding days shown on the screen. So if the agent was started on, in this case, mechanical ventilation day 2 and continued, it would not be a new antimicrobial agent because it's not started in the VA window period. So this is just an example. Had you only checked boxes corresponding to mechanical ventilation day 4, 5, 6, and 7, you would have met the IVAC definition when in fact you shouldn't have, because the administration was begun outside of the VA window period. So going back to our little example, we have an eligible temp and white count, actually several. We have administration of an antimicrobial agent that was begun in the VAE window period, and it was continued for at least 4 days. So here's a little check. Do you count an antimicrobial agent as new if it is new as a result of de-escalation or simply a switch from one agent to another in the same drug class? And the answer is yes. To avoid a lot of complexity, again, using the antimicrobial element, we don't have rules or exceptions to changes that represent narrowing of spectrum or de-escalation, switches to other agents or classes. It's hard to operationalize this. We get a little bit of pushback on this because folks are saying that's kind of defeating the purpose of antimicrobial stewardship, but the patient's on an antimicrobial agent. We're trying to detect if it is related to possible infection. You de-escalated. We're not encouraging you not to de-escalate antimicrobial agents. Just further points out the point of that you don't want to think as IVAC worse than VAC. You had a VAC. If you met an IVAC, well, there was obviously something going on that the patient was on antimicrobial agents. So it probably was meant to be detected as an IVAC. When evaluating a patient's data to see if the IVAC definition is met, I should only focus on antimicrobial agents that are used to treat respiratory infections. True or false? I think this is going to be 100%er. Oh, come on. Close. Okay, the answer is false. Remember, it's when you're not needing to discern whether or not the antimicrobial agents that are being administered are what they're being used for. It's if you have administration, it's occurring in the VAE window period. If it meets the definition of a new antimicrobial agent, it's used to make an IVAC determination. We're not just necessarily trying to detect respiratory events. So meeting the infection-related IVAC definition means it's infection-related, not necessarily respiratory in origin. We did refine the list. It's still possible that an existing agent may have dual purposes and not necessarily being used to treat a respiratory tract infection. So you may detect an infection-related event, an IVAC, and the patient has nothing going on respiratory-wise, but they had worsening of oxygenation, and perhaps that worsening was related to that infection at another site, and that's what we are detecting with our VAE protocol. Moving to the third tier, and you see we haven't gotten to the point where we're going to break, so we got to move on here. The third tier is detecting PVAP, possible VAP. It's using mostly microbiology test results. The requires that you meet VAC and IVAC, and then you have the microbiology or laboratory test results. Those dates of collection for those tests have to occur in the VAE window period. And you have to keep in mind your organism exclusion. So you won't be using normal respiratory flora reports on a respiratory specimen. You won't be using the excluded organisms or the community-associated respiratory pathogens. And one of the following criteria have to be met. So this is the condensed page of meeting the PVAP tier. Criterion one uses positive cultures meeting the quantitative or the semi-quantitative thresholds. And we have a FAQ in the protocol that will explain what we mean by semi-quantitative thresholds. And this requires that you have endotracheal aspirate, a bronchial of the alveolar lavage, or a lung tissue or protected specimen brush. And a bronch wash can be used. If you have a specimen labeled bronchial wash, that's also eligible. So we have an FAQ to tell you about that on our website. So this is the FAQ I was talking about, FAQ number 24. You can read it in your protocol. You can read it on your slide. The point is that if your lab doesn't use quantitative culture result reporting, all is not lost. You still may be able to meet criterion one. The PVAP criterion two is meeting a laboratory isolation of an eligible pathogen, and you didn't meet criterion one, so you didn't have the quantity that would allow you to meet criterion one. You have a lesser quantity, or you have no quantity, so maybe they're just saying Staph aureus found, but they don't say many or few or 1+ or 2+. And in addition, though, you have to have met the purulent respiratory secretion definition, which is based on your Gram stain or your direct Gram stain result. And laboratories report their Gram stains in many different ways. So if your lab doesn't report it in the fashion that we have defined it as greater than or equal to 25 polymorphs or white blood cells and the less than or equal to 10 squamous epithelial cells, if that's not the means that your lab reports white cells out and epithelial cells, we have other means of meeting purulent respiratory secretions. Then the PVAP definition, criterion three, is detection of a pathogen in pleural fluid or lung histopathology result, a diagnostic test for Legionella, or a diagnostic test for some of the viral agents. this is straight out of the FAQs telling you about histopath results and what we mean by that. I had a question recently, somebody had a cytology result that was very indicative of infection, and we'll be including that in the update of the protocol next year, that cytology results would also meet this particular criterion. These are the pathogens and the means of detecting Legionella that you may run across. Pathogens are only reportable for PVAP definition. So if you meet VAC or IVAC, you'll notice that you don't even have the option in the application to enter a pathogen. So this is a question we get fairly frequently. What do we really mean when we're saying Candida species or yeast not otherwise specified, coagulase negative staph species, or Enterococcus species? So this may be useful for you for not only for VAE, but also when you're doing trying to assign a BSI or doing PVAP to the pneumonia protocol. So all Candida species, those that have been identified to the species level, so like Candida albicans, Candida glabrata, or those are just reported by your lab and they don't speciate it. They just say Candida species isolated. Or this is the only time that we use a Gram stain delineation. And even if your lab doesn't report it down to the genus level and they just say many yeast isolated, you can use that. That would be determined as yeast, and that would exclude the use of the specimen result. When we're talking about staph coag negative, we're talking about staph epis, any staph species, or a coagulase negative staphylococci. excuse me. Enterococcus species would be any enterococcus species that is reported, and that does include VRE. Note that VRE is an enterococcus. So what if you have a report like this? Normal flora with many Pseudomonas and moderate Candida species. Can you use the Pseudomonas? Pseudomonas is an eligible pathogen. It's occurring with normal flora, which is not eligible for use for PVAP. And it's also occurring along with Candida species, which is an excluded pathogen. And you can use this report for meeting criterion one. In this particular example, we're assuming that the lab doesn't report out in a quantitative manner, and many Pseudomonas is eligible for use. Okay, what if the pathogen is identified outside of the VAE window? Then a VAE is met, and the same pathogen is identified again. Can you use that pathogen to meet the PVAP criterion? The answer is yes. Doesn't matter if the patient had a previous culture. It's just the go by the rule of if you're finding something in that VAE window period, use it. You can use it to meet IVAC or PVAP. Keep in mind, some of the reasoning behind this is that patients can come in colonized with organisms in the respiratory specimens that then later end up causing infection. So if we identified something as a colonizer on admission in a sputum and then they're ventilated and then they end up with isolation of that same pathogen in the BAL specimen, you know, maybe we shoved it down in their lungs from putting the ventilator in and now that colonizing agent that was in their sputum is now actually causing an infection. Just a schematic showing the different means of meeting PVAP1. Here we have an endotracheal aspirate. It's meeting the quantitative level of Staph aureus that's required. Here we're meeting PVAP2. We just had Staph aureus reported with no quantity. So that's not eligible, even though it's from an endotracheal aspirate. It's not eligible for meeting criterion 1 because you don't have the required quantity. But you do meet polys, and you have the polys and epis in the amount that meets your purulent respiratory secretion definition. So you meet criterion 2. And this is an example of meeting criterion 3. And yes, Candida albicans is an excluded pathogen, but it is allowed when you isolate it from pleural fluid or lung tissue. So in this example, we can use Candida albicans as a pathogen for meeting criterion 3. Okay, what do you do with positive blood cultures that occur around the same time as VAE? Well, you have a secondary BSIs are cannot be reported for VAC and IVAC. You have to have met the PVAP definition, and you have to have at least one eligible organism from the blood culture that matches an eligible organism that was used to meet PVAP in the first place. And then your blood culture has to be collected in your 14-day VAE event period. Secondary BSIs cannot be reported for a PVAP when there was no respiratory culture. So if you met it with a histopathology result, for example, you don't have anything to match, so you can't report a secondary BSI. So what happens if there's no VAE definition met and you have a blood culture? You only have a VAC or IVAC definition met. Or you've met the PVAP definition, but the positive blood culture isn't able to be determined using VAE protocol guidance to call it secondary. What can you do? You can look to all the other definitions to include pneumonia. So even if you are doing VAE surveillance and you think that you have a respiratory event, and you think that there's a bloodstream infection related to our respiratory event, and you can't attribute it to VAE, all is not lost. Still look to your pneumonia definitions. If the patient doesn't meet any of the site-specific definitions to which the BSI can be attributed, then you may have a primary BSI, and if it's central line related, then yes, you have a CLABSI to report. Okay, patients in the ICU, you met the IVAC definition. on the VAE event date, there was also a positive blood culture that grew Pseudomonas, and the physician documented pneumonia in the medical record. The patient has a central line. How should you report this event? Report it as an IVAC with no pathogen. Evaluate to see if there's a positive blood culture secondary to another event or if it's a CLABSI. Report an IVAC and a pneumonia with secondary BSI. Report an IVAC with no pathogen or none of the above. Yay! So most of you got it. So you're reporting, you can't report an IVAC with a pneumonia because you don't know. Just based on what I gave you, you don't know if you met pneumonia definition. Just because the physician says there's a pneumonia, you can't call the BSI secondary to pneumonia based on a physician diagnosis. You can't just ignore that blood culture. So you're going to have to look to see if you can attribute it to a secondary site. And if you can't, then you may have you'll have a CLABSI. Central line was in place. Okay, location of attribution when you're doing VAE surveillance is the same as it is for all other events. It's the location where the patient was on the date of an event. So, and the date of event for VAE is date of onset of worsening oxygenation, to refresh your memory. And the transfer rule applies exactly the same way. If the patient was transferred on the day of transfer or the day following the transfer, you meet a VAE event, then the event is attributed to the transferring location. Same rules applied to VAE as we do for all the other NHSN definitions. Just two examples. I'm not going to spend time here because I'm trying to get through. You have them in your slide, so if you have any questions, certainly happy to entertain the question. Okay, this isn't even where we were supposed to be. This was just to say we're done reviewing. We're at the sunset. We're done reviewing the protocol. Still isn't break time yet. We were going to go through this. And I wanted to just say that luck is what happens when preparation meets opportunity. So getting to the point of you need to be prepared, and when you're going to do VAE surveillance, it's not like your other events. If you're just starting out, make sure that you're reading the protocol, the FAQ, use all of the tools that are available. Experiment with the VAE calculator. Not only is it good for you to make your determinations, it's really a good teaching tool because you'll start plugging in some daily minimum values and you'll think, I got it. And then all of a sudden that calculator will tell you no VAC, or maybe it'll tell you there is and you didn't think there was going to be. So it's a nice tool to use. This is just to stress the point of teamwork. You can get a lot of things done with more than one person or more than one dog. Establish relationships with your respiratory therapy folks and your critical care colleagues. Share the protocol with them. Discuss options for who may be able to collect PEEPs and FiO2s. Maybe even make the determinations of your daily minimum values for you. Inquire about how often and those excluded protocol or excluded therapies, mechanical ventilation modes, that's the word I'm looking for, modes are used, and how will you know that when you're looking at the medical record. Check in with your laboratory. You use laboratory evidence for a lot of the NHSN events. Your micro people, I'm an ex-micro person, are your best friends. You should understand how they're reporting their Gram stains, how you're going to be able to use that for purulent respiratory secretions, and then also how they report, if they report quantitative reporting, and if they don't, how you can equate their semi-quantitative reporting so that you can use Criterion 1. When you're preparing for VAE surveillance, you want to develop a plan for all of your data collection. A reminder that you don't need to be collecting the white counts, the temps, antimicrobial agents, laboratory results for every patient on a ventilator. do it stepwise. If you meet a VAC definition, now go look for temps, white counts. If you find the temp and white count, then look at your antimicrobial agents. Don't run around and waste your precious time collecting information that you may not use. Samples of our data collection sheets that are available on the website for manual data collection. A reminder that, which I'm sure all of you LTACs here know, VAE is included in the CMS inpatient hospital inpatient quality reporting program. It is not included at this point for acute care or IRFs, and I do not know when, so you don't have to ask. I don't know when or if it ever will be. CMS makes that call. The rates that are appropriate for use in public reporting are what we provide in our analysis of in the application. The overall VAE rate, which includes VACs plus IVACs for plus PVAPs. IVAC plus rate is any event that met the IVAC plus the PVAP. So someone earlier today had asked Maggie why we don't produce a PVAP rate. You can use that in your own facility, but to use it as a benchmark to be comparing facilities across interfacility, across facilities, or for public reporting, hospitals have different means. Understand PVAP, it's all based on your microbiology reporting, and not everybody has the ability to meet PVAP. Some people have a better chance of meeting the PVAP definition. So it's not a level playing field. And it really doesn't matter because the VAC is the evidence of worsening oxygenation. IVAC and PVAP are not anything better. We created the IVAC plus rate so that if you wanted to be tracking which VAEs maybe are infection related versus a VAE related to a pulmonary embolism or just related to atelectasis, a non-infectious event, you would have two different rates to compare. It's fine to use PVAP within your facility if you want to monitor it, but it's not meant to be used for comparison purposes. A little bit about some reporting. We do have done some analysis, and this article was in Critical Care Medicine in 2016, and is available at the website. Gives you a little breakdown of what we've learned looking at the 2014 data that you all have reported in plan. When you're reporting events into NHSN, you want to conduct when you're conducting NHS in plan and surveillance, you have to report all events. I think I said this earlier. You can't just say, I'm only going to report PVAPs. Any event that's detected at the highest level it's detected is to be reported when you're doing VAE surveillance. And the hierarchy of definitions are that if you meet VAC and IVAC, you report as an IVAC. If you meet VAC, IVAC, and PVAP, you report as a PVAP. And this really doesn't go right here, but I want to say it because I had two people asking me. So I'm just kind of digressing here for a second. Patients are eligible for VAE surveillance, aren't eligible until day 3, but that doesn't mean that you can't use day 1 and 2 of their ventilation event to establish a baseline. So I thought I said it, but I may have skipped over it. But I just want you to know that you're going to want to start looking at the patient on day 1 and 2 because it's possible you'll establish a baseline on day 1 and 2. And then that was the point of me saying the earliest you can have an event detected would be day 3. So that I know that's a little sidelight there, but I didn't want to forget it. When you're reporting events in NHSN, the events are not upgraded during the 14-day period. I think I've stressed that. This is what your paper form looks like. The location of mechanical ventilation is important and is based on exactly that, where the patient was ventilated. You can map locations outside the facility for those patients that were maybe EMS, they were intubated on transport to the hospital. Maybe they're transferred to you on a ventilator, so you would map them as, or you would indicate their location, a mechanical ventilation initiation was in another facility. APRV, you're saying, yes, the patient was on APRV when the VAC was detected. And just a little heads up, in 2018, we will not be requiring APRV to be answered, and you will no longer be required to collect APRV days. But keep doing it for 2017. It's still required. You're choosing your specific event, and you'll see that the application mirrors that data collection form. If you enter the specific event as VAP, the only thing that's going to show is that step one. It only drops down to show you what is actually indicated in the specific event section. Your denominator data, and this is the same denominator data you'll collect for pneumonia and for VAE. You're collecting patient days. You're collecting the device ventilator days at the same time every day. You're summing the counts at the end of the month. And you're collecting ventilator days on all patients, whether they're eligible for VAE surveillance or not. So patients that are on a ventilator less than 3 days, you're still counting them. Patients who are on excluded modes, you're still counting them. That's to reduce the burden on you so you don't have to make a decision of, can I count them? Should I count them? Do I count them? So you're counting, you're just doing a sweep through and looking to see who else on the ventilator at that specific time of day, and they are included in your denominator. All right, we do have an optional denominator that is available for VAE, and that's episodes of mechanical ventilation. And that is counting all the patients that are on mechanical ventilation the first day of the month, then each subsequent day, any new patient who has started on mechanical ventilation. And that would include somebody who was on the ventilator, went off the ventilator, and then there's a new episode of mechanical ventilation. And then you sum those up at the end of the day, or at the end of the month. And when you start over a new month, a patient who was on the ventilator at the end of the last month now is counted again. So your episodes of mechanical ventilation are determined on a month basis. Just a screenshot of what you would be required to enter for denominator data if you have selected VAE, and so you're going to have to enter your patient days, currently your ventilator days and your APRV days. Next year, that little asterisk for APRV will not be there. And you can see that there is no asterisk, there's no requirement, but you can, if you so choose, to report episodes of mechanical ventilation. And just a reminder that the sampling doesn't apply for ventilator day determination. Okay, this is where you were going to go on a break. That's where we were supposed to be. But we're doing pretty good. We have a whole half hour here to get through cases. That's great. Quick overview of the VAE calculator. This is the landing page of where you would access it. If you click on that ribbon down the side for the calculator, it'll take you to this page. If you click on the link on the VAE webpage, it'll bring you to this page, and then you will click on the actual ventilator calculator link. It will take you to this page, where if you haven't read this information, I encourage you to, even if you're using it, make sure you're using it correctly. And there is a little more box there, which when you click that, you do get more information. So you might want to click on that to see what actually is more. You want to enter the date that corresponds to the patient's date of mechanical ventilation, and that's important. It's not the date they were admitted to your facility, and this is specifically important for LTACs because you're probably getting the patient already on the ventilator. You're not entering the date of admission, you're entering the date of mechanical ventilation. And if you don't know the exact date, you can estimate. The point in entering the date of mechanical ventilation is, remember that date of mechanical ventilation initiation determines how big your window is going to be. So if you enter your admission date and have an event detected early on in the admission to your facility, your VAE window period is going to be narrowed. You select your date. You will be taken to the page where you're going to enter your daily minimum PEEPs and FiO2s, and you don't have to enter the whole history of the patient, just that area where you think maybe there's something going on. You'll click on calculate that. Back, you'll get to this page, give you the term determination, and pointing out here that there isn't a button called explain, and it will explain. Another good reason why the calculator is a nice teaching tool. It'll tell you why or why not you have met the event. Next would be going to the IVAC. You'll be determining if you have any temps, eligible temps or white counts in the VA window period. And you'll be determining if you have antimicrobial agents that meet the new definition. Then you'll calculate the IVAC, get a determination of IVAC, and then you have the go-ahead to proceed to the PVAP level, and you will get you can get an explanation of why you met IVAC. Click on the PVAP. And you're going to get the drop-down, which will have you select whether you've met criterion 1, 2, or 3. Click on the PVAP button, and you'll get your determination. And again, you can always hit the explain button and get a little breakdown of what you met or how you met it. Okay, seems like everybody's pretty familiar with the VAE calculator by the show of hands earlier. Just a reminder that it's a calculator. If you put garbage in, you get garbage out. It doesn't know if you're putting the right stuff in or not, so that's up to you. Okay, case study one. We have a 57-year-old female seen in the ER on 127 with an admitting diagnosis of community-acquired pneumonia. She's placed on the ventilator in the ER and subsequently admitted to an inpatient location the same day. She's transferred to another facility the evening of 2-4, and I would like you to review her ventilator settings, and these are her daily minimums, of course, and determine if the VAC definition is met. And if so, which date of event? All right. Okay. And the majority of you got it. It is B. Let's talk about why it's B and why it's not A or C. So we met it in the PEEP parameter, and our date of event is 2-2. We had a baseline period of stability on 131 and 2-1. We had an increase over that baseline on 2-2, and it was sustained on 2-3, still maintained at greater than 3 centimeters over the baseline period. So our date of event is 2-2. So why wasn't it on 130? It wasn't on 130 because we didn't have a baseline period of stability. It was 40 on 127, 40 on 128, and then it got cranked up to 10, not enough to meet a VAC definition because it's not greater than 20 points over the baseline, but enough to now result in a period of really instability. It's increasing. So you don't meet it on 130 for that reason. There is another VAC detected on 2-3 in the FiO2 parameter because we had a baseline of 60 on 2-1 and 2-2, and then we had an increase over that baseline. But we already identified a VAC on 2-2, which sets a 14-day VAE window period, so the VAC that's identified on 2-3 is not reported. Okay? Does that all make sense? Okay. So knowing that you met a VAC definition, now you did exactly what Cindy told you not to do. You ran around and you collected everything. But let's pretend that it's okay. And you now have all of this information, and you want to see if you met, if you proceeded on to meet IVAC or PVAC. And these are your choices. Is that in your handout, the choices? Okay, so I'll go back to this so you can take a look. You know that the date of event is 2-2. So set your VAE window 2 days before, 2 days after, and then first determine if you meet IVAC. If you meet IVAC, then determine if you meet PVAP. And when you think you're ready, it looks like you're looking at, I'm going to go to the page so you have the options to select. So your selections are none. The patient had community-acquired pneumonia. You don't have to even look further. VAC only, IVAC, or PVAP with a pathogenous strep pneumoniae. Okay, only a three responses. Oh, it looks like I, oh, that's because the poll closed. I'm sorry. It's because I hit the return. Okay, well, of the three responses, 67% were correct. That's great. So we do meet the PVAP definition. The pathogen is Streptococcus pneumoniae. Let's take a look at why. We create our VAE window period 2 days before, 2 days after the date of event on 2-2. We certainly have some eligible temperatures that are greater than 38 degrees. We have two antimicrobial agents that have been administered. The first, the ceftriaxone, was administered outside of the VAE window period, so it's not new, so discount that one. And we have azithromycin that was then administered on 131, and then for some reason we got skipped and nobody gave it to the patient on 21, and but they did resume on 22, 23, 24. So that will give us our four QADs because it's a break between the same agent. Okay, so we have actually five QADs. We have a sputum specimen that grew strep pneumoniae, and we have a BAL that grew the same organism. So we're meeting, well, I don't want to give it away. What are we meeting? What are we meeting with PVAP? I'm going to let more than three responses come in this time. So we are, oh my, we're meeting criterion one. Let's look at why we're meeting criterion one. We had a BAL specimen, which is eligible for use in meeting criterion one. And we had the correct quantity that meets the quantitative requirement, greater than 10 to the fourth CFUs of an eligible pathogen. We do have a sputum which can be used to meet criterion two as well, but we didn't have purulent respiratory secretions met. So we can't meet, it is possible you can meet criterion one and criterion two if you have everything, but in this case we didn't. And I don't know why. Well, I like D. Okay, you just didn't know. You guessed. All right, I'll give that to you. So I think that covers why we didn't meet criterion two or the third option of criterion one or two. Okay, this is just to demonstrate the new antimicrobial agent. Had you put ceftriaxone in there and you did not enter the 2 days before, you would have gotten that as four QADs. Just a reminder that you want to check all of the boxes that are available where you have data available to enter. So, and it's especially important when you're doing the antimicrobial agent because that's determining whether the agent is new or not. And remember, to meet IVAC, it has to be new. It has to be in the VA window period. It has to be administered for greater than or equal to 4 days. So in this case, the ventilator or the VAE is just demonstrating that because it's the same agent and it's administered, even though there's a gap of 1 day, it still is counting that missed day as a qualifying antimicrobial day. Okay, so the case recap is just to say that that admitting diagnosis of community-acquired pneumonia doesn't relieve you of doing VAE surveillance in this patient. The eligible pathogens identified in the VAE window are to be used if you can meet a criterion. And the days between the same antimicrobial agent are used. And criterion one uses a positive culture meeting quantitative. And criterion two is the one that requires periodic respiratory secretions. You didn't need that to meet criterion one. Okay, case two. This is a 15-year-old male, and he's admitted to the adult medical ICU following a surfing accident and near-drowning event on 1-1, clearly in a warmer climate. He had a central line placed on the first day of his hospital stay. In-plan VAE surveillance had been selected in the monthly reporting plan in the ICU location where this patient was. He was initially ventilated on 1-1, and then ECMO support was added on 1-3 through 1-6. And just for purposes of this case study, ECMO was in place the full calendar days, 1-3, 1-4, 1-5, and 1-6. And based on the following settings, do we have a VAC definition met? And if so, which date of event? Okay, got about half of the room here. Oh my, we're all over the place, aren't we? This is good though, we're learning. Okay, the correct answer is 1-11, and let's look at why it isn't 1-4 or 1-7 or NOVAC. So the patient was on ECMO on 3, 4, 5, and 6. So even though on day 4 it looks like we met a VAC definition, remember the patient is excluded from VAE surveillance when they're on extracorporeal life support. I mean, think about it. You're pumping air into them. You're really oxygenating them. So it's hard to detect worsening, although in this case we did, oxygenation. We just don't want you doing VAE surveillance when the patient is on ECMO. So you don't have an event on 1-4. And when you do have a patient on an excluded mode, if there is a baseline established before they're on that excluded mode, and then they come off of the excluded mode like they did on 7, and now you have a baseline up here and you have worsening down there, remember that it's immediately following. So the baseline has to be immediately preceding the worsening oxygenation. So on day 7, you have to start all over again and establish a baseline and then have worsening oxygenation. So that's why we don't have an event on 1-4 or on 1-7. Does that make sense? Okay. And in this particular scenario, we do have a VAE detected then on 1-11. We had a baseline on day 9 and 10, immediately followed by increase to 60 and then to 80. So we meet the VAC definition on the 11th. Okay, so we know that we have a VAC definition met on 1-11, and we can set our VAE window period take a look and see if you can meet IVAC or PVAP. And I don't have a clicker thing in here, so we're going to just do a show of hands. I'm getting the 10-minute sign. I think we're going to make it. All right, how many of you think that IVAC or PVAP can be met? Just a show of hands. Okay, there's a couple of you. How many think that it can't be met? How many of you don't care? All right. Sounds like the don't cares have the majority here. It was not met. Let's see why. But before we see why it was not PVAC or IVAC were not met, we do have this blood culture on the 10th, January 10th. Do we have a secondary VAE, secondary BSI to VAE? Okay, I'm hearing no's, and that is the correct answer. So let's just go back to that, though. I want to go through here why we didn't meet PVAP or IVAC. Well, we didn't meet PVAP or IVAC because we do have eligible temperatures, obviously. But when we go looking at our antimicrobial element, we don't have a new antimicrobial agent started in the VAE window period. So without, you need the two components to meet IVAC. Without meeting IVAC, you can, even though you have culture results available, you don't even progress on to look at the PVAP. A good reason why don't gather all this information if you don't need to. And this blood culture can't be secondary to VAE because why? You didn't meet PVAP. You can only have a secondary BSI if you meet PVAP. You only have a VAC. So now what are you going to do? Okay. Well, if you look at that lineup of all that information, you've got some good info there that maybe could be used for the pneumonia definition. If you take a look at the new two algorithm, you have a fever around the time of the blood culture, you have leukocytosis, you have purulent sputum, you had the purulent sputum definition met, you definitely have worsening oxygenation, and you have a blood culture, and you also actually had a BAL specimen. So take a look to see if you can meet new two. The only thing you're missing is imaging evidence. Well, on lo and behold, on further chart review, the IP determines there's a new infiltrate reported on two chest imaging reports on January 10th and 11th, and there's evidence of persistence on the subsequent imaging tests. Now, can the BSI be secondary to new? And I think we've already gotten to that point. It could be. So you want to set an infection window period and determine if all of that information that you had gathered to see if you could meet PVAC, IVAC or PVAP, see if it all falls in an infection window period. Now, remember, now you're using Chapter 2 guidance. You're going back to the infection window period where you take a diagnostic test. You set an infection window period 3 days before, 3 days after. And you see if you have all of the elements of the new two definition and if you could use that blood culture as an element. Can you? I'm going to tell you, you can. Yes, you meet the new two definition and the date of event is 1-7. So let's see how that all fell out. You had fever and white count on the 7th. You had purulent respiratory secretions met. You continued to have fever. You had an infiltrate on the 10th. And the 11th, and you had further evidence in the medical record that that infiltrate didn't just disappear rapidly. It was persisting. You had increased ventilator demand, and you have that blood culture on the 10th. You also have a BAL. You're meeting new two all over the place in this instance. Your date of event is, for the new two event, is the 7th. And just to recap, In this particular case study, we had a pediatric patient in a adult location. He was included in VAE surveillance. He was on an excluded mode, so we couldn't meet the we couldn't meet IVAC or BAC in that early period of his ventilation. We did meet it in the FiO2 parameter, couldn't proceed on to the IVAC definition because we didn't have a new antimicrobial agent. And because of that, we couldn't proceed to the PVAP definition. And if you can't meet the PVAP definition, you can't have a secondary BSI. So you have to determine if the BSI can be secondary to another site-specific infection. Okay, one more case study. We have an elderly gentleman admitted to the trauma ICU following a motor vehicle accident. He had been intubated in the field, and a central line was placed upon arrival to the unit. And there was some concern that he had an aspiration upon intubation. So given the following information, identify the mechanical ventilation day, identify if there's an event and on what day. And maybe there's more than one. So the options that you're going to be presented with on the next slide are a PVAP on mechanical ventilation day 6, an IVAC on mechanical ventilation day 6, a PVAP on mechanical ventilation day 6, and a VAC on mechanical ventilation day 15, or a PVAP with a secondary BSI on mechanical ventilation day 6. I think those are sixes. Yeah. Okay, give you the chance to put your determination in. Right, and we're all over the place, but the majority did get it right. We have a PVAP on mechanical ventilation day 6, so let's look at that. We're meeting the PVAP on mechanical ventilation day 6. We had a baseline period on days 4 and 5, worsening over the baseline that meets in the FiO2 parameter, meets the definition. That creates a VAE window period, and we have eligible white counts indicating leukocytosis. We have an antimicrobial agent started on the 6th, and it gives us all of the required qualifying antimicrobial days greater than 4 or equal to 4. We have a BAL specimen that was collected on the 6th, and it was reporting out Haemophilus influenza in a quantity of 10 to the 4th colony forming units per ml. So that allows us to meet criterion 1. Date of event is mechanical ventilation day 6. We also had a blood culture down there. Can both Haemophilus and Candida be reported as pathogens for this PVAP event? The blood culture had Haemophilus and Candida. True or false? The answer is marvelous, false. So you have a blood culture on the 10th that grew Haemophilus influenza. It does match the specimen that the organism that was isolated from the specimen that you used to meet PVAP definition. It does have a collection date in the VAE 14-day event period. You also have another blood culture in the VAE 14-day event period, but it grew Candida albicans. And we know that Candida albicans is an excluded pathogen, and on top of it, even if it wasn't an excluded pathogen, let's say that BAL, maybe that BAL with a lung. You didn't isolate Candida, so you can't match. So we can't call the secondary, the blood culture with Candida albicans as secondary to the BAE event. We do meet a VAE definition again on day 15, but we're in that 14-day event period, so we're not reporting the second VAE. Just a little recap. Our date of event creates the 1 to 14 event period. The blood cultures must be collected in the 14-day VAE, and the excluded pathogen has to be investigated as whether it's secondary to another site or if it's a CLABSI. And now you can line up and leave, but sit tight for just a second because we probably have some announcements. And just some summary points that the patient does have to be ventilated for more than 2 days. You have to have greater than 2 days of stability followed by worsening of greater than 2 days. Your earliest event date is day 3, and you report the events at the highest level. Don't go collecting all that information until you meet a VAC definition. Don't assess for temps unless you meet VAC. Don't assess for white counts. Don't look for your antimicrobial agents unless you meet VAC and you have eligible temp or white count. And certainly don't go running around getting all that microbiology stuff unless you've met the IVAC definition. Thank you. And that's all we have.